As you've seen today, the theme of our Family Bible Week was To the Edge. And the subtitle of our theme is our title for today's message, Encounter the God of the Universe. Encounter the God of the Universe. And by that, we don't mean encounter the God the universe is. We don't worship the universe. We mean encounter the God who made the universe in which we live. Encounter the God who created everything there is. That's the God our kids have been learning about all week long. And when I thought about that theme, my mind went to the 147th Psalm, especially verse 4, which Marilyn put on the cover of your bulletins this morning. Psalm 147 is about encountering the God of the universe. And more than just encountering Him, worshiping Him. And more than just worshiping Him, wondering at Him. And more than just wondering at Him, putting our hope in His unfailing love. That's the point of Psalm 147. Let me read it to you, and then we'll pray and then contemplate it more closely together. You have it? Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor His delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends His command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down His hail like pebbles. Who can withstand His icy blast? He sends His word and melts them. He stirs up His breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed His word to Jacob, His laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know His laws. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, we learned this week in our adult class that sometimes the proper application of Scripture is to just say, wow. And I think Psalm 147 is a wow psalm. So Lord, I pray You would empower me to get across how amazing, how glorious, how great is our God. And I pray You would do this for Your glory and Your glory alone in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you feel that? Do you feel that wow factor when you read Psalm 147? I just have 3 points this morning, 3 points of application. This psalm wants us to encounter the God of the universe and to respond to the God of the universe in at least 3 ways. Worship, wonder, and hope. So if you're taking notes this morning, that's it. Worship, wonder, and hope. Let's take those one at a time. Worship. Do you hear all those worship words in the psalm as I read it? It starts and ends with the call, praise the Lord. Praise Yahweh. Do you know what the Hebrew is for that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 1 and verse 20 begin with and end with, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. It's just right to praise God. And to sing to God, he says in verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp and the guitar and the bass guitar and the keyboard and the drums. Verse 12, extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. Praise, sing, extol. Those are worship words. This psalm wants us to encounter the God of the universe and bring Him the worship He deserves. Let me ask you a question. Does the psalmist give us any reasons to worship God in this psalm? You bet he does. This psalm is just loaded with reasons to worship God, and they turn on two different points. One is that God is the amazingly powerful creator of everything and Lord of the universe. And the other is that this God lovingly cares for His people. In this case, the Old Testament people of Israel, when this was written. Verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. Here's why worship. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exile of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. This psalm was probably written after the exile of Israel when they were being restored to the land. For those of you who were in our adult class, that's at the end of your chart that we looked at this week. At the very end, those last two books, Ezra and Nehemiah. This psalm was probably written during that time. The Lord cares for His people. He restores them. Verse 13 has the same theme. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. God had provided for Zion, for His covenant people, including giving them His law. Look at verse 19. He's revealed His word to Jacob, His laws and decrees to Israel. He's done this for no other reason. They do not know His laws. For no other nation. They do not know His laws. Praise the Lord. Now again, this is written in the age of the Old Covenant. God had a special covenant relationship with Israel. And the psalmist says that because of that, God's people should worship Him. Worship. But most of all, these verses talk about how powerful He is over all of creation and how that should lead us to worship. Look at verse 8, for example. He covers the sky with clouds. We saw that a couple times this week, didn't we? He supplies the earth with rain. We've seen that a lot this summer, haven't we? And He makes the grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. Who does all that? God does. Look, skip down to verse 15. He sends His command to the earth, kind of, hey, go! And His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. Anybody remember snow and frost? We were complaining about it a couple months ago. Now it's all humidity, right? Who can withstand His icy blast? He hurls down His hail like pebbles. He sends His word and melts them. He stirs up His breezes and the waters flow. Do you see how God is credited with being responsible for nature? How God is in control of everything, including the weather. Anybody here care about the weather? We all care about the weather, but none of us control it. Only He does. And because of that, and that alone, that would be enough. God deserves our worship. More than that, God deserves our wonder. Our praise should be full of marveling at God's majesty. Not just, thank you, Lord, for the weather. But God, I can't believe what You can do and what You do every day. This theme is the clearest in verse 4, and it's why I picked this psalm for this morning, to fit our theme for the week. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The psalmist is saying that our God deserves astronomical praise. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. That's a mind-blowing statement. Do you know how many stars there are? Cody asked the kids this week, how many stars do you think there are? And one of them said, there must be at least 100. I love that. So without Googling, does anybody want to take a stab at how many stars there are? Over 4 billion? You're right. It's not millions. It's not billions. It's, get this, you ready? 70 billion trillion. 70 billion trillion. That's 7 times 10 to the 22nd power. Now, if I'm doing math correctly, and that's always a possible concern, 70 billion trillion is a 7 with 22 zeros after it. And that's just the stars in what astronomers call the observable universe. Okay, that's just as far as we can see. To the edge, you aren't going to reach there, are you? Now get this, and get ready to wonder. Our Lord determines the number of those stars. And the psalmist says that He calls them each by name. Now, I don't know if that means that God has His own pet names for each one of them. That one's Fred, and that one's Kevin, and that one's Cassiopeia, and I don't know. But it does mean that He created each one of them and is Lord over each one of them. He knows them all. Does that make your brain bubble? Wow! Wonder! He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. That's almost an understatement. When Heather and I were in California last month, we walked on the beach in Carlsbad each night. And one night while we were there, Heather was taking pictures. And I was just standing there in the sand with the waves coming in and going out. Did you know that the waves just keep coming in and going out when you're at the beach? You just stand there long enough, and if it's when the tide's coming in, eventually you're covered, right? And I just thought about, I just stood in one place, and I thought of how many grains of sand are there? And how I could never keep track of them coming in and going out. Pound, pound, pound goes the surf. Just in that one spot. And it's always changing, right? It's always changing. And right now, that same spot I was standing in, the waves are still coming in and going out, pounding, pounding, pounding. And I thought of how God knows every wave pounding that spot on the beach for however long. When we say He's omniscient, that's what we mean. That He knows that. Pound, pound, pound. The Lord Jesus said that every sparrow that hits the ground is known by God the Father. Every bird that's hitting the ground right now, God knows. He also said that God numbers the hairs on every head. That's easier for some people than others. But He knows that for everybody. Wonder at the God of the universe. But, not just how big God is. Wonder that that God wants a relationship with you. What's been so amazing for our kids to think about this week is that it's encountering the God of the universe. Not just learn that He's out there somewhere, but that He cares. A God of the universe who is not impressed by anything or anyone wants us to enter in a personal relationship of faith and followership with Him. This psalm wants us to know that because it's not because we're so wonderful ourselves. That's why he says in verse 6, the Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. You see, God's not impressed with the proud. He's not impressed, in fact, by anyone or anything. That's the point of verse 10. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor His delight in the legs of a man. He's not looking for help. He's not trying to raise an army. He's not looking for strong people. He's not looking for strong people to join His team. Get on God's side. He needs you. No. He just wants us to fear Him and hope in Him. Verse 11. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. You know, when I was reading this psalm this week, it kind of seemed a little proud to me, especially those last two verses, 19 and 20. He has revealed His word to Jacob, His laws and decrees to Israel. He's done this for no other nation. They do not know His laws. Praise the Lord. It sounded a little snooty to me. You know, we've got the law and you don't. And that's where Israel did take that. But that's not, I don't think, what the psalmist was getting across. He was wondering. He was amazed. This is the psalmist saying, He paid attention to us? To Jacob? To Israel? We were nothing special. Little old us. He reached out to us, the God who made everything, who just says the word and it rains or snows or frosts or blows or burns or hails or flows. That God has reached down to us. Not to the strong, but to the weak, to the humble. Not the powerful, but those who fear Him and put their hope in His unfailing love. That's who. And friends, that can be you and me. That's us. Hope in His unfailing love. The God of the universe is worthy of our worship. And when we encounter Him, we will wonder and praise and extol and sing, "How great is our God!" But that God has invited us to put our faith in Him and Him alone, to hope in His unfailing love. You and I know so much more about this God than the psalmist did. He wrote in the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament era on that second part of the chart, for those of you who are in our adult class this week. We know that this God who names the stars humbled Himself and came to earth as a little baby. That's the God of the universe, Jesus. And then He lived a perfect life and died on the cross to save us from our sins. And then came back to life to give us life. And friends, that's unfailing love. And it's our only hope. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love.